Lord's Hill Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Just pray about it. Have you ever heard that said? Just pray about it. People sometimes do that. Say, oh, just pray about it. Maybe you were in a situation, a place of distress or perhaps a place of desperation that you were in. Or maybe a place you're in right now, a situation you're facing right now, and someone has said, just pray about it. Maybe in your desperation, you went to seek out some support. You went for counseling. You went to a Christian, brother or sister, or pastor, or minister. You went to talk to somebody. You told them about what you're facing. You told them, about your money problems. Maybe you're not managing the money very well. Or there's too much month left at the end of the money. You told them that. Or the stuff at work that happened, that situation, that time that you told them about. Things that are causing you to question whether you should stay in the job or not. Or maybe it was a relationship thing. Maybe you told them you're single and you'd love to be in a relationship. Or you're in a relationship and you'd love to be married. Or you're married and you'd love to be single again. And you shared these things with this person. And they said, just pray about it. Maybe it was something you did. Maybe it was your fault. Maybe it wasn't your fault. It wasn't your doing. Maybe it was the loss of a loved one. And how do I cope with the emptiness? Just pray about it. Yeah, just pray about it. Because after all, when we pray about things, it immediately turns out all right. Right? If you pray about it, woo, done. Right? No? Today we're looking at the prayer of Jonah. Jonah was a prophet. Theologians will have him pegged as one of the minor prophets, one of the 12 minor prophets whose writings, his prophecies contributed to the Bible that we know. The book of Jonah effectively tells the story of his life. It has 4 chapters, and interestingly, many of you will know that if you put chapter 1 and 2 together, you get the first half of his life. And you put chapter 3 and 4, you get the second half of the story. First half of the story, second half of the story. You can almost split it down the line. Chapters 1 and 2, chapters 3 and 4 is almost like a before and after. And when I looked at the book of Jonah, it's not the first time I've preached from Jonah, but this time around, I actually realized something. Is that the first half of Jonah's life, you can actually summarize into 3 sentences. That chapter 1 and 2, the first part of Jonah. What's the short version? These 3 sentences carry the short version of chapters 1 and 2. And these 3 sentences are right at the beginning of chapter 1. So those of you who have your Bibles open and you're looking at Jonah chapter 3, chapter 2, chapter 1, Jonah, what am I saying? Jonah, the first 3 sentences are in Jonah chapter 1. Verses 1, 2, and 3. These are the sentences, not the full verses. These are the sentences. It says, the word of God came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Sentence 2. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness had come up before me. Sentence 3. But Jonah ran away and headed for Tarshish. That's it. That's the first half. That's it. And I realized, wow, it's all there. Amazing, isn't it? This dude simply wasn't gonna do what he was told. He just, he's a prophet of God. This guy was saying things, he was serving God, and God said, right, I've got a task for you. Okay. And then he ran off. He was being disobedient. He was obeying the 11th commandment. I've talked about the 11th commandment before, haven't I? The 11th commandment. Do you know what the 11th commandment is, for those who don't know? The 11th commandment is this. It says, God has said his bit, now I'm going to do what I want. That's the 11th commandment. Don't you shake your head like you've never obeyed the 11th commandment. We've all done that. Someone says, listen, I really believe God is telling you to do X. And you go, oh, amen, amen. We've all been there. And our text for today is taken from chapter 2, which is part of Jonah's first half. It happened when he went to do what he wanted. He went to please himself, do his own will. It's the bit that happened after he ran away. He had the option to do things God's way, but he didn't do things God's way. And he found himself in trouble. You know, he's found himself in a spot of bother. Well, here in England, we say it's a spot of bother. You know, if you were Nigerian, you say he found himself in wahala. He found himself in some wahala. He was stuck. Yeah. And he was desperate. And he prayed. And he prayed. Now, last week we talked about how it's important when you pray. One of the key things is to address your prayers correctly. We also looked at how the best prayers you can pray are the prayers that are rooted in Scripture. Prayers that come from, that have a sense of your knowledge of God through His Word. Remember that? If you don't remember it, sermons on the website. Yeah? And so you can see when you look at the words of Jonah's prayer, and we're going to go through that a little bit now, you'll see that number one, he's actually addressing God. And number two, he's referencing Scripture. The opening verse of our text says, "In my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help and you listened to my cry." Compare that to Psalm 120, verse 1. That says, "I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me." Can you see there's a similarity between the two? Look at this. Verse 6 of our text says, Jonah says, "But you, Lord, my God, brought my life up from the pit." And when I looked at that, it's a little bit like what the psalmist said in Psalm 130. "Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, heals your diseases, and redeems your life from the pit." You see that? Now look at verse 8 of Jonah chapter 2. It says, "Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them." How is that not the same as Psalm 31 verse 6 that says, "I hate those who cling to worthless idols. As for me, I trust the Lord." You see, what we see in these verses and what happens, this is what happens when we learn to meditate on God's word. When God's word is just, it becomes a part of us, it becomes part of our language. Those of you who know me, you'll know that from time to time I do that. I wasn't born doing that. I made a decision many years ago. Sumi knows this. I made a decision many years ago when I said, listen, I want to make sure that in my day-to-day conversation, I can quote the Bible. I don't have to say, "And the Bible says." No. Just say the words. Don't worry about that. Just say the words. Say it. Just say the words. You know, there's an old saying that says, you are what you eat. And this saying applies not just to physical food, it applies to spiritual food as well. You are physically what you eat. You eat a lot of unhealthy things, you're not going to be healthy. You're not, saints, it's the truth. Similarly, your spiritual food, what is going down into your soul? You know, when you're in a place of distress, you're a place of desperation, what comes out of your heart? Jesus said, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, he says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." People will say to me sometimes, "Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to say that." I say, "No, no, 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 Batman, Batman." Sorry, I couldn't help myself. Can you see out of the abundance of the heart, right? All those childhood cartoons. Wow, right there, I proved the point. I said to them, no, don't give me that. Tell me you didn't mean it. It came from your heart. "No, I didn't really. It didn't come from my heart." Yes, it did. Listen. Let me give you an example. Look at my 6'4" physique, right? I'm built like an American football player. Typical American football, not the retired ones, right? The ones that are really serving right now. I know that. You don't need to tell me. I'm built like your average American basketball player. 6'4" and full of muscles, right? I know that, you know? But here's the thing. If you were going to insult me, right? You're not going to look at me and say, oh, look at your skinny, tall self. You know, you look like you're starving. That's, no one ever is going to use that as an insult against me. They could say, look at you, you're not 6'4". And your six pack wrap on it. And they could say that. And then I say, oh, that was hurtful. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean it. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. It came from somewhere. It came from the storehouse that was in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart. But it works the other way around. The abundance of the heart. The mouth speaks. Have you ever been in a situation of challenge or difficulty, situation of desperation, and all of a sudden you didn't even realize, all of a sudden you start singing a worship song, or all of a sudden the spirit into your heart? It works the other way as well. Out of the depth of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jonah prayed. Is it me that's doing that? I can hear some popping on the system. I'll try and keep still. Oh, we'll see how that goes. Jonah prayed, and he prayed desperation. Out of the abundance of Jonah's heart, as he prayed, he referenced Psalms. He referenced the Psalms. But here's my question. What kind of prayer was this? Remember earlier on, I threw these theological points. I threw them out. And what kind of prayer was he praying? When we look at, remember the 4 points I talked about? There's a thanksgiving, supplication, confession, intercession. Which of those 4 can we say was the prayer that Jonah prayed? When we look at it, really. Well, let me say to you now, this prayer that Jonah prayed was actually none of those. We know that God responds to the prayers of faith. God responds to the prayer of faith. His word teaches that. God doesn't respond to our desperation. Ah, really? Yes, I said it. God doesn't respond to desperation. He responds to our faith. It doesn't mean we're not desperate. It doesn't mean we're not, you know. So even in our desperation, when we have faith, God responds to our faith, not to our desperation. See, think about it. Jesus' day, there were many people there. Many people were desperate, but not everybody had faith. Not everybody had the faith to believe. Think about the man, Mark chapter 9, they brought the man, they brought his son before Jesus, and Jesus said, do you believe? He said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. This man had been desperate, but when he got into Jesus' presence, faith arose within him. Yeah? So it doesn't matter how much desperation you have, as long as you have faith in God through Jesus Christ, there's hope for you, and your prayers can be answered. Amen? As I said before, Jonah's prayer in our text for today is a prayer of desperation. This guy was highly expectant for an answer. So I want us to look again. Let's look at some of the details, some of the things that he said, and look at, you know, where he was quoting from scriptures. But yeah, we've already said that. But let's look at some of the things that he said, right? So Jonah says, from deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help. He said, I have been banished from your sight. That was what he said in verse 4. In verses 6 and 7, he says, Lord, you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Listen, when you look at these words, I mean, my life was ebbing, my life, you brought my life from the pit, my life was ebbing away. These are words of desperation. Now, let me show you a characteristic. Yeah, I want to show you a characteristic of the prayer of desperation. Are you ready? The blame game. The blame game. You see, for people praying a prayer of desperation, they very rarely think about how they got there. They don't think about the part that they played. They don't even consider the part they played. And that was Jonah's issue here. He says in verse 3, he says, you hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas. What? Wait. What? God hurled him into the depths of the sea? Was that what happened? Was that what actually happened? Because if you read chapter 1 of the book of Jonah,
You see that Jonah was on a boat. He was going somewhere. Then a storm blew in from nowhere. And these people were like, whoa, 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 whoa. This isn't an ordinary storm. Something's gone wrong here. And these guys were trying to figure out what had gone wrong. They're desperately trying to find out who is responsible. It's like God's wrath has come upon us. Yeah? And they were in fear of the ship being capsized. And in verse 12 of chapter 1, Jonah jumped up and he told them, he said, the reason the boat is at risk of sinking was because he had sinned. God's punishment was against him. Jonah told them it was his fault. He made it clear to them. And he says to them, chuck me in the sea. Yet, despite this, Jonah tries to blame God. You hurled me into the depths of the sea. Do you know anybody who does that kind of thing? Despite the fact that all of this was rooted in his disobedience, despite the fact that he had been thrown into the sea in the way he asked, he told them, throw me into the sea. Instead of using this time for confession, he points the finger of blame. Instead of using it for thanksgiving, to thank God for providing a fish to swallow him, instead of him being drowned in the water, he used it to shift the attention to what he thought God was doing wrong. He was projecting on God. Instead of asking for mercy, he tries to reframe the narrative as to something that God had done, blaming God. This guy didn't ask for forgiveness. Do you know anyone like that? Anyone who does that? People who pray like that? People who approach God like that? People who only see their own self-righteousness. Have you ever done that? Are you doing it right now? And if you're doing it, it's a rhetorical question. Thank you. It's a question for you to ponder. You don't need to tell us. It's a question that God already knows the answer to. And if you're doing it, stop it. If this describes you, change. Come on, that's what the word of God is for. It's not to tickle your ears. It's to bring a change in your life. Oh, that was a good sermon. If you're not changing, it wasn't a good sermon. Or it might have been a good sermon, but not good for you. Yeah, so if it's for you, change. That's what God wants for all of us. So look at the words of Jonah's prayer. He says, I called to the Lord in verse 2. He says, I called for help. I will look again toward your holy temple. He says, I remembered you, Lord. My prayer rose to you. You see the trend? I, myself. I've been good. I do say so. And it is true. I did my bit. What about you? This guy was grading his own test paper. He was marking his own paper. I did it. I called. I will look. I remembered you, Lord. No, you didn't. The reason you're here is because you took the wrong turn. You went where you weren't told to go. Start there. Now look what he says in verses 8 and 9. He says, those who cling to worthless idols, they turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. This guy is effectively saying, you know, Lord, I'm not like those unbelievers. Those worthless people who don't worship you. I'm better than them. Because, you know, I'm surely going to be following you. I'm surely going to be faithful to you. Again, as I said, he was grading his own test paper. You know, earlier on I talked about how Jonah's problems in the first half of his story, you can see that his problems were, you could summarize it into three sentences from chapter 1. And I showed you those sentences. Well, guess what? Jonah's story didn't end with his first half. There was a second half. I don't know who you are. Your story's had a first half. And you know, that was then. This is now. There's a second half. There's another opportunity for you, for things to change, for things to not be the same. Sometimes we want to hold on to our past life. We want to hold on to who we were. And God is saying, listen, you need to let you go so I can bless you. So I can bring you into a new realm, a new place. And there's a second half. And you know what I did with the first half of Jonah's story? I realized you can actually do it with the second half of Jonah's story. Let me remind you the first half. The first half, the first three sentences from chapter one, verse The word of the Lord came to Jonah, go to the great city of Nineveh, preach against it because its wickedness has come before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. Now let's go to the second half of his story and do exactly the same in chapter 3. Here are the three sentences from chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Now, verse 3, Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. And right now, we see it right there. This amazing thing about our amazing God and his amazing ways that lead to amazing blessings that we can benefit from because of his amazing grace. Despite all of Jonah's sense and nonsense even, arrogance even, God stepped in. Our God of love, our God of mercy, stepped in. Jonah only had to call on him by faith, and God stepped in. All Jonah had to do was call on him by faith, and God stepped in. Remember I said earlier on, Jonah knew the word of the Lord. Jonah knew God. Yes, he did some things he shouldn't have done. Shoulda, coulda, woulda was going on in there. But he knew God, and God knew him. Yes, he was in a place of desperation. But desperation or not, when he called out to God, he called out in faith. It was a faith that was built on the knowledge of God through his word. The God that he served. And when he called on God, listening to me now, the same God that stepped in for Jonah can step in for you. If only you would call on him in faith.
This is Pollard's Hill Baptist Church, a place for the whole family to worship, grow, and serve as we learn to live and
not
love
in desperation, like in Jesus. Faith on who he is, rooted and grounded on his word for you. You've heard me say that as much as God can help us, God helps us, you know, with anything, or he can help us with anything. The thing that God cannot help you with is the thing you don't bring to him. Somebody said years ago, God is a gentleman. And by that they mean he doesn't kick your doors down and smash things up. He did that with Jesus once. Jesus said, it is finished. Done. You need to come to him. Bring your business to him. Bring your struggles to him. And of course, it feels like, you know, your circumstances are overwhelming you. You've had enough of having enough. You're tired of being tired. You're fed up of being fed up. I get it. Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed, like you're drowning in the sea of troubles. You're being swallowed by your circumstances. Maybe it was even your own doing. Maybe you did it. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe you're drowning at work or you're struggling financially. I want you to remember you're not alone. God has connected you with this family, PHBC family, for a reason, so that we can come alongside you, so that we can serve you in your time of difficulty. You're not alone. God loves you with a never-ending love, and he wants to be involved in all areas of your life, but he wants you to yield it to him. If only you would yield it. If only you would bring it. If only you would call on him by faith. Tell him how you feel. Ask him for the strength. But give him an opportunity to show you how to overcome it his way. And then trust him for that. Allow him to help and allow his will to be done. Saints of God, he stepped in for Jonah. And he has done the same for us through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, God stepped into your life. Despite you being the worst of yourself, God stepped in. Despite your prayers not meeting a particular theological framework, God still stepped in. Despite you not being able to make the grade, God still stepped in. When you didn't humble yourself, God still stepped in. When you were dead in your sin, God still stepped in. When your attitude was not right, when your words were not right, when your behavior was not right, God still stepped in. all you need to do to access the blessing that accompanies that is to accept Jesus, choose to live in him, choose to live for him. Let him have his way. And God did all of this to ensure that no matter where you go in life, no matter what you get out of life, no matter the situation you're in or the circumstance you may find yourself in, the answer will always be clear and there will be no doubt when you are faced with the question, whose will be done?
We trust that you have been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you have heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.